Okay, so this is a shiur on Shemi Shmuel, issues related to Purim. I want to put together, at least initially, two thoughts that the Shemi Shmuel has about the concept of Seuda, of the meal of Purim. This relates to a concept which the Shemi Shmuel speaks about in general, about the notion and the value of the Seuda, of a meal. I will see how he ties it to the idea of Purim in different and specific ways. So the very beginning of the Inyan of Purim, Shas Tafresh Ayin Aleph, so the Shem Yishmol brings the Gemara Megillah, Das Zayinu Medeus says, Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Sa'achlo Balaylo Yafir De Chavasa. If a person eats the Sudas Purim at night, or tonight, so he has not fulfilled his obligation. So the Shem Yishmol writes, the nearer it would seem, the lashon of the Gemara is not, that if you ate a Sudas Purim at night, you haven't accomplished anything. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you haven't fulfilled your obligation. In time, says the Shem Yishmuel, that there is a degree of a mitzvah to be had by having a Seuda tonight after the Kriyas HaMegillah. It's just that one hasn't fulfilled one's ultimate obligation of Sudas Purim by having the Seuda tonight. So parenthetically, this of course is of halachic concern, not just hashkafic concern, the way most of the Shem Yishmol's concepts are. So this is brought by halacha, the halacha by other poskim, namely that although there isn't a bona fide obligation to have a Seuda tonight, on the night of Purim, there is nonetheless, as they say, an inyan, a concept, there is some significance to having a Seuda tonight to mark the onset of Purim, even though, again, it's not the fulfillment of the ultimate Seuda of Purim, which of course has to take place during the daytime hours tomorrow. Why would that be? Why would there be a concept on the one hand of having a Seuda tonight, according to the Shem Yishmol, and why yet on the other hand would it not be a fulfillment of the full-fledged obligation to have Seuda Purim? You should understand, he says as follows. Hine inyan Seuda hu ke'en mashem otzinu in Shir Hashirim Rabba she'osim Seuda l'gmara shel Torah. The whole concept of a Seuda in general, to understand the role and the significance of a Seuda, of a festive meal, can be derived from the statement of the Medrash in Shir Hashirim, that there's a concept, we make a Seuda whenever we're Messiah, whenever we have finished learning a portion of Torah. Of course, we know that that's the concept of the Seuda Siyum. Why do we have a Seuda when we finish learning a portion of Torah? I don't know, Seuda is a very physical kind of thing. Learning Torah is something very spiritual. Why mark the finishing of a learning of a portion of Torah with a Seuda? You should understand, he says, Ti'achar Gnaishal Mitzvah. When a person finishes doing a mitzvah, ba ha'ara elokis, a person is blessed with a certain divine light which descends upon the person. And we have to do something in order to maintain and preserve that spiritual benefit which has accumulated to us because of the mitzvah. The zenata idea suuda. The Seuda is the vehicle to do that. The Seuda is the vehicle to keep whatever we've attained spiritually close to us. We find this even in a non-mitzvah context, even in the context of doing Isurim. What's the context? Rashi writes on Chumash Perek in Vayikra Perek Yitzes Pasuk Tezayin, Gabi Loselech Rachil Be'amecha. The Pasuk says, you should not go as a talebearer among your nation, right? In other words, an Isra and the Tzara to speak Lashon Hara. So the Targum is Losechol Kurtsin, right? The Targum of Losechol Rachel Be'amecha, that you should not go as a talebearer, is that you should not eat in a way which portrays other people. And Rashi there explains that when you wanted to share some really juicy piece of gossip with somebody else back in the good old days, you would go over the person's house, you'd share the gossip, and then you would eat a meal together with that person in order to give some degree of strength to the gossip that you said. very bizarre. If I want to tell a piece of person, if I want to tell a person a piece of gossip, how come we have to have a piece of schnitzel afterwards in order to make it a real piece of lashon hara? Right? It doesn't seem to make sense. Right? So the Shem Yishmol explains shiva achila osa chizik shidvar mekuyamim. Whenever you have a seuda after you do anything, it kind of seals the deal. It shows that I'm serious about what I just did. I'm serious about what I just said. I'm serious that I want what I just did to be maintained and preserved by me. So if that's through the context of an isser, of speaking Lashon Hara, if I want the Lashon Hara to really last, we make a saluda afterwards, says the Shem Yishmuel, how much more so in the context of a mitzvah, that when we finish, let's say, learning a mesechta, we want the mesechta to stay with us, we make a saluda in order to tie the mesechta to us and to make sure that what we attained is not going to be lost. Right? That's what Sudas Purim accomplishes as well. When we lay the Megillah, we ourselves are invested with a certain spirituality, a certain spiritual light. We are different people, says the Shem Yishmuel, after hearing the Megillah than we were before hearing the Megillah. So we're going to walk away from the Megillah reading tonight transformed. So how do we maintain that degree of transformation with which we've undergone? We have a seuda in order to seal the deal. So it goes on the Shem Yishmuel to explain. We know that of the two lainings of the Megillah, which we're going to do over Purim, the main one is during the day. Right, it was seen historically, by the way, that there was a period of time where they only lained during the day, and that the laning at night, the night beforehand, was a later addition. The concept of laning during the day seems to come from the Megillah itself, right? In other words, that's Yidivei Kabbalah. The concept of laning tonight is a later din Yidivei. The rabbis imposed it at some later point in time. It's interesting, you know, in America today, somehow the Kriya at night took on tremendous significance. The Kriya during the day, unfortunately, I think there are people out there who may hear the Kriya at night, but not necessarily during the day. Halakhically, it's exactly the opposite. Halakhically, I mean, if you had to choose, you shouldn't choose, but if you had to choose between hearing the Megillah at night and hearing the Megillah during the day, so the more important Kriya is during the day. So that says the Shem Yishmuel. So for that, that's why the Sudas Purim is also Davka during the daytime. Because what's the purpose of the Sudas Purim? The purpose of the Sudas Purim is to take everything that we gain spiritually from the reading of the Megillah, and by eating a Suda, to nail it down, to finalize it, to make it a part of ourselves in the fullest sense of the term. So by definition, the Sudas Purim is going to have to be during the day. Because if the whole point of it is to cement that which we attained during the Kriyas HaMegillah, so by definition, and the main Kriyas HaMegillah is during the day, so by definition, the Sudas Purim is going to have to be during the day as well. However, right, Al Kain, La'otan Oro Shoyom, Sikhmato Chizuk Vayom, Dafka Akha Kriyas HaMegillah Shoyom, the Achilah Balayla Yosef De Chavasa. Right, and therefore, if a person has a Su'udah at night, he's not going to fulfill his obligation, because the whole point of the Suda is to nail down, to cement that which we attain from the Kriyas HaMegillah during the day. Nonetheless, Mikomakom La'osan Oro Shalaila Bavada Mishalatos Lamchizet Vikiyum. Nonetheless, says the Shem Yishmuel, based on this concept, you can understand that which we said at the outset, namely, that although the absolute obligation of Sudas Purim is during the day, there is a mitzvah to eat a Sudas Purim at night as well after the Kriyas HaMegillah. Why? Because although it's not as important, there is a concept of nailing down and cementing that which is achieved through the Kriyas HaMegillah at night. So whatever we're going to eat tonight, says the Shem Yishmuel, is essentially a way of cementing to ourselves that which we're going to achieve. It's a Sudas HaMegillah, in a sense, a Suda that derives its power from cementing that which we achieved during the Kriyas HaMegillah. A little bit later on, not in this piece, but in a piece that he said in a later year, let's see if I can find it. The I don't have it. Okay, I don't have it readily on me, but in a piece that he says a little bit later on, the same Yisrael raises the following kasha. Minhag Yisrael typically is to eat the Sudas Purim at the very, very end of Purim. Right? In other words, we wait till Purim is almost over, really, to start the Sudas Purim. We get in a good part of the Suda during the day, but the Suda mostly is consumed after the sun has gone down. You know, after Purim has already finished. I mean, that's the way most people eat their Sudas Purim. So after Shem Yishmol, why is that? I mean, wouldn't we think that there's a concept of Zrizim Maktimin, that we should do the Suda as early as possible in the day? Again, there are those who have the Suda in the morning as well, right? But, I think the common minhag is that the main Sudas Purim is held late in the day, you know, as the day is almost over already. So why should that be? Why is there a preference to make the Sudas Purim dafka at the end of the day? Says the Shem Yishmuel, you can understand it based on this Yisod. If the idea of the Suda is to nail down and cement that which we have achieved and attained through the performance of mitzvahs, it actually makes sense to have that Suda as late in the day as possible to allow the maximum achievement to come upon us from all the mitzvahs we perform during the day. And here the Shem Yishmuel introduces an extra concept as well, which is also interesting. Says the Shem Yishmuel, when a person reads the Megillah, or hears the Megillah, as we just said, he gets a certain spiritual attainment at that moment as he's fulfilled the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah. But that attainment is not only something which he gets at that moment, it continues with him for the rest of the day of Purim and gets stronger and stronger. When the person gives Matanos Lev Yonim on Purim, so he gets a certain elevation spiritually at that moment, but as the day goes on, that attainment and that Kedusha which he receives as a result of doing the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim gets stronger and stronger as the day progresses. So in other words, says the Shem Yishmol, if we accept that, so then that which is going to cement which I've attained, the Sudas Purim, should be, relatively speaking, as late in the day as possible in order to make this, in order to maximize the attainment before the Suda, which is going to be the summary, you know, of everything that I've attained during the course of that activity. Right? Again, it's an interesting hashkafic / halakhic twist on a minhag Yisrael, you know, to dafka hold the Suda as late as possible, you know, during the day, you know, to present it from an interesting perspective.
How would the answer the question of, with all of the fasting, seems to take on a greater, the Suda tonight takes on some significance?
Right, so, you know, if you want to look at things from a very simple perspective, we've been fasting, so we're going to eat tonight just to break our fast.
Yeah,
but, you know, there's two different ways you can eat tonight. You can just have something to quell your hunger, or you can make a fancy suuda tonight, or a semi-fancy suuda tonight, that, you know, is being offered in honor of the Yomtiv, not just because we have to break our fast, but in honor of the Yomtiv. So the Shem Yishmuel would argue that there is value in the Suda, in other words, there's value in the Suda tonight, not just from a practical perspective, because we're all hungry, but there's value in the Suda tonight, you know, to celebrate Purim, or as he's explaining it, to cement the achievements of the Megillah. And as such, you know, it's not just a practical and pragmatic issue, you know, it has inherent significance as a Suda as well.
Further
that thought for a quick second, if I'm wrong, how do we understand that
the Megillah reading of the day is more prominent than the Megillah reading of the night?
So historically, that was the original takana, that was the original enactment of Mordechai and Esther, to read the Megillah during the day. It seems as if the reading of Megillah at night was something that was added, you know, at a later point in history. It's a later add-in. Again, you know, much of the American experience is otherwise, but again, halakhically, the main kriyas HaMegillah is that which happens during the course of the day. Let's take a different piece from the Shem Yishmuel. This is from year Tafresh Ayin Gimel. So Shanas Yaakov, Sohalov is Samecha, you're also Yachas Chelus Mordechai. We're going to say tonight and tomorrow at the end of the Kriyas HaMegillah, this portion of the poem, the rose of Yaakov rejoiced when they all saw together the Chelus that Mordechai was wearing, the blue wool that Mordechai was wearing as he was given this new position as the second in command of the Persian Empire. Why is the Jewish people referred to as Shoshanas Yaakov? And what was so special about the Tchelas Mordechai, you know, that that so caused them to rejoice? I would think Shoshanas Yaakov Salav et Samecha because it was saved from death. I mean, you know, Tchelas Mordechai is very nice, but I would think that the salvation from death would really be the main reason that they were so happy. So the Shem Shmuel here quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer. Kvod Kedushas Avi Adoni Mori Zatzal, he did pay Rusho, he Shoshana he Rako. A rose, said the Avnei Nezer, is a very delicate and soft flower. Right? And he quotes the Rashi to this effect, the Kvod says in Tehillim Mem Hei, Lam Nasel Al Shoshanim, but Rashi Shom, Rashi there explains, Al Talmidei Chachomim, Shem Rakim Kishoshanim. That the reference of Dilma to Shoshanim is the Talmidei Chacham, the Torah scholars, who are as soft and easygoing as roses. So roses are soft. So it's good to be soft, right? It's good to be nice, it's good to be pliable and flexible. Everybody knows a nice guy. But he writes, V'chol dovo rach, yecholim v'kal v'netoso, v'kal bol shinun. Anything which is soft can also be easily twisted. Easily changed, easily pushed aside. And that's true in terms of the human personality as well. A person could be a soft, easygoing person. Generally speaking, we think that's a wonderful thing. But a soft, easygoing person can also be easily pushed to do something which maybe isn't the right thing to do. In fact, says the Shem Shmuel, that's why a rose is called a rose. A rose by any other name apparently would not be as sweet, right? That's what you see from the Shem Yishmuel. Why is the Shoshana called the Shoshana? Miloshim Shinoi. It's derived from the idea of something that changes. Because it's so soft, the Shoshana, the rose, can easily be manipulated or changed. The Alkin Yisrael Oz Shihigiu L'malo HaGadolo V'kibu L'atar Mechadosh Me'avas Haneis. So the Jewish people, we know, right after the miracle of Purim, were on such a high spiritual level. They had reaccepted the Torah willingly. They had demonstrated their love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything was just going wonderfully. But Adayim Nisyaru, Tenachmas Rakus Libam, La'at La'at Yishtaneh Adavar, this is Karera Ahava. But nonetheless, the Jewish people were concerned. They said, we're on this great spiritual level right now. What's going to be in a week from now? What's going to be in a month from now? What's going to be in a year from now? Are we going to be able to maintain this spiritual level? Maybe we'll be like that Shoshana, which is so soft and pliable that we'll be twisted or manipulated in some other direction. So the Jewish people, the Shoshana Yaakov, the easygoing, lovely, easily pliable Jewish people were a little concerned about whether they'd be able to maintain their spiritual level. When did the Jewish people become happy? When they saw the Tcheles of Mordechai. Why the Tcheles of Mordechai? The Gemara says that as opposed to other types of dye, a kala ilam that fades and that ultimately doesn't last, the tcheles, once it's used as a dye, is permanent. You can't get it out. It doesn't change. Right? And that shows us when they saw that Yerosham Yachad Tcheles Mordechai, both the Tcheles Mordechai, it wasn't just that Mordechai happened to be wearing Tcheles, but Mordechai represented the idea of Tcheles. Mordechai represented the idea of permanence, of long-term commitment, of not changing. Shoshanas Yaakov Zalav Esanecha, when the Jewish people saw that Mordechai was the one who was their leader, who had been at the forefront, and he was going to help shepherd them through the future, so then they were happy because they knew that even though they had a tendency to easily be moved, you know, the Tcheles Mordechai and everything that represented, the permanence of the Tcheles Mordechai, would keep them in good stead, would make sure that they wouldn't go off the path which had been charted for them. And he writes on the Sivri Pichacham Chayim, you know, these beautiful words of the Avinezer, says his son, are charming, are inspiring, and certainly should inspire us. You know, the truth is, these two Zetlach from the Shem Yishmol, in a certain way, are very, very much closely connected to one another. Because the issue that the Shem Yishmol is dealing with in both of them is, when you have a spiritual high, how do you maintain that? Right? In other words, it's very nice to have a wonderful Yom Tov, a wonderful experience, a great Meiriv, a great Megillah, you know, but how do you take that and make that last for the long haul? Right? The role of the Suda is to do that. The role of the Chelas is to do that. And, you know, we need things in Jewish life that are going to help us preserve the high moments. Because, you know, life doesn't consist just of high moments. You have high moments, but you ultimately have to be able to take those high moments and extend them going forward. Our tefillah, certainly, as we go into the very, very special Yom Tov of Purim, a Yom Tov on which we can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for all different kinds of things, is that not only should we have an incredible experience, but there should be anshechius, a permanence, an ongoing quality to the experiences which we have tonight. And the Esrus Hashem, we should all have a Freilich in Purim and be able to take those happy moments with us. It is an honor and a kasha omen.